You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to Voices of the Big Podcast. We've been Aiton and Monica Dundry, and we are here in the Horns Pub in Watford to record our very first podcast in a pub. Me and Monica have been doing this podcast for 3.5 years now, so we wanted to get together. Monica doesn't come down often to Watford games, so when he does come down, we want to get together and try and do live podcasts together. So Mike, firstly, how are you doing, mate?
Sad news over in Belgium this week, but for Ken Semmer was
Was he in the national squad, or did he get that?
No, he would have been involved,
but obviously the two Sweden fans were tragically shot dead. I think also to the family, and obviously the events over in Palestine and Israel at the moment, talking about all the two people who have lost their lives. It was a good touch by a lot of the EFL clubs that have done that. But first, before we get into the game, is it your first time at Vicar Joe for this season, or did you down for PBR game?
I did the PBR game. I've not seen us lose this season. Third Lucky game job. So far,
yeah.
Did the QPR, did Coventry. And then today against Stephen Windsor. Fucking hell. I've had a few already.
He's had too many already. This is typical dub. But yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on the old Elton John Primo song. What do you make of it? It's one of those, don't get me wrong, I like what we are doing it. I think it's going to take a while for us to get used to and actually be a bit more passionate about.
I 100% agree. I think the sentiment is there.
Yeah.
I was expecting, you know, when it was coming to the end of the song, I was expecting the referee and everyone else to be like, everyone singing the chorus together. It wasn't today. But I think they're trying to get an anthem. You know, like, Birmingham got Kate Wright on, Liverpool, you'll never walk alone, etc., etc. We try to do that.
Yeah.
And it's not working.
I think it's one of those where it's going to take time, isn't it? It's a grower. I think the longer they play it, stick at it, the fans will get on board it. From being to home games week in, week out recently, it does sound a little bit loud that there is more fans joining in to it. So hopefully it continues and it is proper like that. But we'll dive into it. What did you make in the first 10 minutes? I thought it was a bit that, to be totally honest. A bit sloppy, a bit slow. Both teams struggled to get going.
I think that was the story of the first half then. You know, we didn't have I think our first shot target was the goal. I might have to stand correctly there, but the first couple of minutes was very much a Sheffield Wednesday team that are trying to play the way that the new manager is bringing in. But look, their new manager's had, a week to work with that. So his ideas aren't going to come off straight away. And it was very much a Sheffield Wednesday team that just wanted to play for the club, to play for the pride, and wanted to impress the new manager. But the way that he wants to play isn't going to come off straight away. And I feel like Watford should have smelled blood. You know, they should have gone for it from the get-go. And come out of the traps as quick as it would have liked, to be honest, man. Really disappointing that start.
Is when you consider that Sheffield Wednesday, they've probably the league, not won a game in the calendar year. Actually, I think they've got the worst start for any championship.
Today is a record.
Yeah, after 12 games, which is absolutely poor. And we spoke to James from the Wednesday Sunday Dive podcast in the week, and he was talking about how awful it's been for Sheffield Wednesday, especially under 6 or 9 months. But I saw what I was walking here after the game talking about Sheffield Wednesday, and I said to you, I think we played at the right time, because give them another couple of weeks with this new manager. I think it might be more of a threat. I didn't really offer too much for us today. I think the defence dealt with it quite well. But you can see the press was there from Sheffield Wednesday, but there wasn't much else to their game plan, and they didn't really carve us open, did they? They've not really had a clear opportunity in the goal.
No, I think Patterson was always... That's his name,
Yeah.
I think he was always going to be a threat. You know, he's a right ugly bastard, and he wins everything in the air. And he did win everything in the air, but he didn't have, there was no one thinking of what he was winning in the air. It reminded me a lot, actually, Ben, of QPR from the start of the season. That Armstrong was winning everything, but there was no one around him. Lyndon Dykes was winning everything in the air. There was no one around him to sort of feed off the scraps that he was giving. So I think we were very lucky today. We played a Sheffield Wednesday team. We were very much in a transition. Your spot on. You play them in 2 weeks' time, different animal altogether. They'll win their next game. I know if we play on Tuesday, or I don't know whether they're playing on Wednesday, I think they'll win their next game easily.
Yeah, definitely. There will be a different proposition, especially with the return leg against Wednesday as well. It's not a return leg, it's not a cup game, is it? We'll return fixture. but yeah, it was a bit of a natural start from what we've really got. Our main threat in that first half, it seems like it's Bernard Ryan signed with Jeremy and Gaffney and Tom Ince. They combined really well. But for me, sorry, there was a fly going past. I wasn't just going to try and hit Mike in the face there. There was a really annoying fly. But it looked like Watford's main threat was down the line inside him. For me, I want to see that more from Ngakoue. He needs to get beyond comments much more to try and offer that outlet. Because when he did do it, he got into good areas and then it was the final ball that let him down. But that's when you travel teams. You need to get behind the defence and get to the pylon and pull the crosses back.
Absolutely. Look, Ngakoue has split the room. You know, one game he might be out of this world. The next game he might be shooting. He'll be like, why the fuck are we playing? But today, I think he was good today. He didn't get tested a lot. Down that side, defensively, he didn't get tested. But going forward, you know, he got into those areas. And look, we've not seen a player, a fullback, get beyond his man. Like, the days of in terms of, let's keep them 0-0. How long can you keep them 0-0? And the confidence of that, I think their fans today, I was in the Surrey and John stand, their fans today were fantastic throughout. They were really loud. And every time they got half a chance, they were really good at spurring a team on. But yeah, I was really disappointed by the fact that we just couldn't seem to really get at them, or didn't get at them. We seemed to be looking to do that.
We did, and where you were sitting in the Evan Johnson, because I'm in the Rookery, and I got a sense of a couple of jeers from the fans, and there was a bit of moaning and groaning. Was that the same in the Evan Johnson stand after half an hour?
Very much so. I mean, look, the Evan Johnson is full of sort of daydreamers, I think. We're wrong,
Dan. Be careful, don't insult everyone.
No, I'm not coming for
it. We had a season to get there for a couple of years. Yeah.
If you sit there at Evan Johnson, I'm not coming for you. I just think that. You know, if you're coming for a day, you sort of sit in the Sarah Johnson. But, yeah, no, of course, you know, I mean, the half-time whistle went, I was gone for a few shots there. And I was in the toilet and I heard the food ring around. So I said to Beth, so my missus is here today. She's not in this sport. She's scared to her in the last couple of months. But I said, they're food. She was like, yeah, they're food. I was like, yeah, right. And do you know what, Ben? I was still having a piece at the end of the game. And there were fans next to me saying, I'm not sure I'm happy with that. We just fucking won. I don't give a fuck how we're playing. We just won. We've won. This is the third time we've won this season.
Third time in 12 championships.
Tekken.
They don't come out often, so we enjoy it when they do.
Exactly.
But I felt like the fans were starting to get on the players back early doors, half an hour in. But then it was the players were sticking to the plan that Valerie Ismail was trying to implement to them in the summer. And they've obviously been told how to play it. The players didn't mix it up or anything after hearing the jeers, and they carried on playing their way. And I thought after they heard the jeers, they actually moved the ball slightly quicker, but it was patient football from Watford on the 31st minute. They worked the ball down on the right-hand side to Ngakoue, and he drilled this lovely ball across the six-yard box, and it was just a bit too far in front of Bakary Mbayo. And it was turned away from the corner, but obviously Watford don't do anything in the corners, and it was another frustrating delivery over on that side in front of the Graham Taylor stand. But then it was 40 minutes, and there was a more clever player over from the right-hand side, and it was a cross in the box from Ngakoue. And it's what I'm not from Ngakoue. his delivery is getting slightly better. And he found Loser within like the 6 yard box, and was just on target. But I guess the main talking point, really, Mike, in that first half was just bang on 45 minutes. Sheffield Wednesday was on the counter attack, and it was one ball to play down the middle to get Josh Windass away. And Ryan Porteous went absolutely through him. If Wesley Hoot wasn't there to cover, that would have been a straight red card for Ryan
Porteous. Yeah, listen, we've seen a few suicidal moments defensively this season, but I like to think that, you know, Porteous and Hoot have got a really good understanding of each other. They've played with each other for what, this is going on the second season now, and, you know, hopefully Porter would have done that, knowing that the fact that Hoot was there to cover, but, yeah, look, it was really sort of suicidal. Looking back, if that was CRL, so I'd be worried.
Yeah.
Mourinho just completely fucked him up. Yeah. And he needs to stay there.
Sirielta, he moves like a double-decker bus sometimes as well. Like, he hasn't got horses, who haven't got the pace either, but I'd say Sirielta's probably got less pace than both of them. So, yeah, that probably would have been a red card waiting to happen if Sirielta was in that position. But luckily, Hoot was in the recovering position to get that Porteous out of that. But I don't know about you, but it seemed like Porteous was shouting at the ref for absolutely ages, and I was just shouting at the players, get him away, get him away. But no one was getting him away. And then out of nowhere, Bakumbayo came over, and I think it was the only thing Bakumbayo did in the first half, mate. He ushered him away from the ref, and I thought, fair play to him, because I was expecting Livermore to get him away, or
obviously, Batman can't do it, because it's a goalkeeper, and this is why I don't like having a goalkeeper as captain. They can't be as impactful further up the field when there's decisions like that.
Absolutely,
and look, you know, especially with the way at the moment that referees are trying to clamp down on his scent and everything. Look, Ryan Andrews, for example, he got sent off against Sunderland, and he's had a further foul because of what he's sitting
there. And one game ban.
We don't know what he said. Probably called the ref a Steenage Tuesday, I've got to say, you know. We'll get back, fucking hell. But, you know, he got told off the thing. So, you know, you look at Virgil van Dijk against Newcastle, he said two to the left, he got bolted as well. So, you know, when he brandished the yellow card, to see Porteous, and he was going back, calm down. Because, like you said, all the referees should do that, like, what do you want the plan to plan when
we get a
part?
We saw it the other day from the Sunderland game, didn't we? It was in the Sunderland versus Middlesbrough game, it was a Sunderland player just before half time, identical to the Portland situation. I think he committed a foul or something, he was on a yellow card. But it was something he said to the referee that ended up getting him sent off, and I just thought, we're going to see him support you. They're going down to 10 men against Sheffield Wednesday, what a relief. That's just ridiculous, but luckily it didn't lead to anything else. And the half-time whistle came, 0-0 at home to Sheffield Wednesday. Rooney's ran out with Vicarage Road, and I left to the gentleman to his left of me, James. He's a lovely guy. We speak all the time during the game, and he was like, it's a little bit harsh. Like, I understand they're bottom of the table, we're not losing. But same with the players, and this is what I said midweek with you on the review show with James. Just stick with the players. It's not going to be an overnight fix. The confidence is going to be low in his squad. So stick with the players. And I think they need the booze and the cheers. Maybe that helps steer the players on in that second half. Maybe it's they've gone in here and there, and they've had a conversation at half time. And then they've obviously came to a conclusion that was a pretty poor first half. In the second half, but it wasn't just the players that maybe had a conversation, it was Valerie Ishmael as well. And Ishmael went and did a double substitution at half time as well, which I thought improved the game. He took off Bakumbayo and Tom Delibashiru, on came Rajovic and Kone. I thought it was harsh on Bakumbayo. I know he's pulled off a lot of players at half time recently, Valerie Ishmael, but I thought Bakumbayo didn't really deserve that. I didn't think he had to deserve it. And Rajovic, he doesn't feel very much confident, but Kone came on in correctly.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm bigger than Kone, like,
fucking hell. We're doing the podcast,
we're trying to be professional there. I'm reading the fucking names over there on the wall. He's talking to himself.
I'm going to do a monologue in a minute. Mike's going to get another round of beers in.
Listen. He saw that we needed to change. Absolutely. You know, Coney, I thought, come on, did a superb job. Got, he played against Birmingham. He's superb. He come on against someone else. He's superb. You know, it's just that final product of Coney is what we're not seeing yet is him start from the first whistle to the final and him have a complete game.
I agree, yeah.
He's very much, bring him on, fucking hell, he's brilliant, bring that player.
Yeah.
Rojovic.
You need him to stop, you need him to impact games from the start.
Absolutely, and look, back in bio, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, I know my dad if he's watching this, I know he's not your cup of tea.
Well, evening Mike.
I know he's not your cup of tea, but he works hard.
He works hard for the team.
Absolutely. And I've got no qualms whatsoever. We're going to do up front. Going to bring Rojovic on, happy days, but put him on up with fire.
Yeah.
Don't bring him on for him. Well, like, I come out the second half, I'm showing for a piece. I had a beer at half time as well. And
he's mentioned this piss a couple of times, so it must have been a good one.
It was a good one. I was holding on for a long time. But yeah, no, look. You know, I come out second half and I was like, we've made some subs. Oh, there's Conan. Conan wasn't running the first half. Oh, there's Rojovic. I'm trying to look around. Who's come on? Who's come on? Okay, so it's just Conan and Rojovic. No Bio and no Danny Bashiru was actually gone for. So I was sort of at half expecting there to be more changes. But I don't get why you don't just throw Rojovic on with Bio.
Yeah.
Because Bio works hard. Look at Coventry, for example. We don't score that second goal if Bio's on the pitch. And Rojovic just doesn't press like Bio does. So, look, we can sit here and say that all we want. We just won.
Yeah.
But if we'd have sat here and we drew 0-0, or we lost 1-0, then there's serious cause for concern.
My question to you is, with these half-time substitutions, is it Valery Ismail getting it wrong because obviously he's having to change it after 45 minutes, or is it the players letting him down? I can't believe I came up with a good question like that.
Yeah, Jesus. I have to sit on this one for a bit, but I think Ismail trusts the players that he puts out on that pitch, and they obviously work on shape and the way they're going to play and everything else, and it's just like. Sometimes these things don't work, and he needs to make changes. Ben, at the end of the day, the whole thing is, right, we've got a manager that ever plays changing straight away. How many times have we started the podcast in these, three and a bit years, and we're like, I wish the manager would make a change sooner. Like, look at Cisco Munoz. He's waiting for the 60th minute.
Yeah.
He's married, he don't give a fuck.
Van Rees proactive, isn't he? He obviously sees an issue in the side, the players have let him down, and he's trying to find a solution to improve things on the pitch.
I'll tell you what, I've not seen a manager make subs like that early since the academy. Remember Brighton, where we got promoted? And brought Vanya on, first time. Technical.
Yep.
He worked nothing wrong with that technical. That's just bollocks. And I like the managers to do that.
Yeah.
If someone's having a stinker, they're opposite.
And then it was, I think on the 50th minute, I think Jamal Lewis picked up the yellow card, and I thought it was the half yellow card straight away. But then it was a couple of minutes later over on that right hand side, and that burst of pace from that Sheffield Wednesday player was frightening. He got the other side of Jamal Lewis, and Jamal Lewis went to ground with a challenge, and the referee straight away put the whistle to his mouth, pointed to the spot, and the uproar from Watford players, I've not seen it like that for a while. They were going over to referee, pleading, going, it's not a penalty, it's not a penalty. Went over to a linesman as well. And then after it, was like a couple of minutes, wasn't it? A couple of minutes, and the players were talking to the ref, and then the referee was like, you know what, I'll go over and speak to the linesman. Because obviously, he must have heard the Watford players complaining so much, and maybe he had something in the ear from a lino saying, you know what, he has got a foot on the ball then. Was your heart in your mouth when you pointed to the penalty spot?
The words that come out of my mouth when he pointed to the penalty spot, I cannot repeat. my missus looked at me and she was not happy at all. I was like, I'll calm down, babe, I promise.
Calm down, babe.
Like, I was dreaming. Never a penalty in a million fucking years. Never a penalty every day of the week, twice on a Sunday. Never in a million years. And do you know what, man? I'm glad. He went over. Because usually, that's what I'm saying, because there's no VAR.
It's a penalty,
yeah. And that is it. But when I saw it go into Solana, oh, it's overturned. Yeah. It. Fair fucking play. Dean Whitestone, his name was. He ref this last year when he beat Bristol City 2-0. And fair play to the fucker.
What I liked about him, though, was obviously he pointed to the spot straight away, but he didn't really rush his decision afterwards. Like, he could have easily gone to his pocket, got his yellow, second yellow card, and then the red card, and sent Lewis off. But he didn't. He was very patient with his decision. He thought, okay, I need to go over to my linesman, I need to see my assistant, and I need to get a second opinion on it. So thank God he did, because he went over. So Wednesday fans were fucking loving it. And I was going, only one Danny Roll or whatever their song was, singing about the manager already because they won a penalty. I don't know when the last time they won a penalty, but I thought, bloody hell, that's a bit much. But yeah, thankfully it was overturned, and Watford were very, very lucky. Well, not lucky.
No, we weren't lucky at all. It wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, he got foot on the ball, so justice was done. So after that, 3 minutes later, ball went out of play, take Lewis off. He's on a yellow card. You can see that the Wednesday winger has a beating of him with his pace. So off he comes, and on comes Ken Semmer in. Fantastic to see Ken Semmer back. Like, Ken Semmer is the most underrated Watford player. Like, he gives absolutely everything for the cause. Such a fan favourite. We love Ken Semmer, but great to see him back on the football pitch, Mike.
100%, and like you said, he's a Watford legend for me. And I know there's split opinion on Twitter, but you know what? He gives you 100%.
And that's
Harry
what we want.
We want 100%. Yeah. For me, at left back, he's a viable option.
I think he's the best left back at the club. And like we've brought in Jamal Lewis, but he was one of the best left back at the club, and he has been for the last couple of seasons, even when Adam Messina was there, and who else did we have there recently? But oh my God, like, he's still been Kamara, better than Kamara. Kamara is a liability.
I'll be better than Kamara. I've had fucking 7 points.
I don't think you would have any pace like Kamara, but I think you could maybe make positioning that could be good. But yeah, you know what you get with Ken Semmer? He works hard, and he's unorthodox, but he just works hard. That's what you want. You want work harder. You want players that are put on a shirt and actually give a shit. And Ken Semmer certainly does.
You know, it's got me off guard again. But I went through that point. This point is a bit difficult to get through. I mean, you meant to be, you know, support me with pop here, but look at that. That's a bit flat, that was. Look, Semmer comes on, he gives 100%. And the amount of times we sat on this podcast last season, Ben, and said, we just want players at 100%. Him and Bio, in the same box, they give 100%. And he come on, and he did a solid job. I'm not saying Lewis didn't. I know I said to you before, but on the walk out from the stadium, that I don't think Lewis did 100%. No, I said that I don't think Lewis had the best game. I don't think he did have the best game. But Semmer come on, and he calmed things down. And all he did then was play simple. And sometimes that's all you need to do.
Yeah, and I think Ken Semmer offers you something different. He overlaps more than Jamal Lewis for me. He gets to the byline, and he can beat a man as well. Like, I don't know how Ken Semmer beats a man, because the way he does it sometimes, and not makes a player, I have no idea how he does it. I don't even know Ken Semmer knows how he does it. But he finds a way, and he ends up doing it. But after Ken Semmer, the pitch, it was actually another few substitutions for Watford as well before the next talking point. So, Cheick Badassi came on for Imran Lusa. Again, another disappointing display by Imran Lusa. I think you all know, I've never been Imran Lusa's biggest fan. I don't get why people hype on about him so much by saying, he's our best player, blah, blah, blah. I've never really liked his attitude or anything. And I don't think he turns up half the time, Mike. But I said to you walking here as well, he seems like a bit hot player, and when he wants to turn up, he turns up. But other than that, I don't think he really cares.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Look, I think the problem is, Ben, If he had such a good game against QPR, first game of the season, everyone has set that bar in their head. Yeah. They're like, fucking hell, Luton was immense that day.
I missed that one. Typically, I missed that one.
That's more you, that is. He set the bar so high against QPR, and then everyone's expecting him to be there every single time. The problem is, that's not been the case. People are quick to like, analysts and everything. Like, we've got a video analyst, who is smart built from West Brom and Barnsley and that.
I thought you were going to say the voice of the victim.
Fucking hell, we've just about got a podcast.
We don't even know if this is going to work tonight.
I'm speaking into this. I don't know if you can fucking hear me. But yeah, so obviously they've got video analysts, and look, like, they're the marked loser as a potential danger man. So the problem they've got there is, we've seen it with Pedro, we've seen it with Stein, they're sick of the melody. Pedro was good enough to dance through two men. Star, when he wanted to, was good enough to dance through two men. Loser just doesn't seem like his arse, and it kills me because we know there's a player there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be pissed off if he was a mediocre player. We know there's a fucking player there. If he wanted to, he could turn up on the roof and feed Watford to roast the ball. We've had Ismael Assar, Joe Pedro in recent years. Ismael Loser? Fucking hell. That's Jonesy Sparky. Imran Loser could be Watford's main man.
The opportunity's there, like you say, it's clear now. I know you say the same as you, Ismael Loser. Imran Loser, it's his opportunity to shine now, really. There's no star boy at the club, really. Ismael Assar's gone, Joe Pedro's gone. Who's going to take that moment? And it looks like Mateus Martins is stepping up and taking it. Because he seems like our only real flair player, creative player. Someone with a bit of pace can actually stop something out and up at the moment. But maybe the bit of quality that we're looking for is from the guy who entered the pitch just after. And that was Yasser Asprilla, came on for Tom Ince. Talk about Tom Ince quickly. I really liked his work rate. I think you can't fault his work rate. I thought he put a shift in for the team, but the game maybe hasn't got any product, maybe didn't maybe get in the right areas. What do you like for Tom Ince's first few months at the club?
Look, I think with Tom Ince, the reason that we never liked him before he joined, he's a busy bastard.
Yeah.
He's everywhere, he's here and there, he's irritating the fuck out. The no-end product, I think, is a bit harsh. He's not getting into the positions for us to judge whether it's got an end product. Whether that's a problem we need to highlight, yes, okay. But if he's having shot after shot after shot and missing them, like at Reading, you know, look at Reading last season. They won 100% would have relied on him a lot more. And he would have been, you know, shooting a lot more, trying to score a lot more. And maybe they would have said, look, fucking hell. Tom Ince has 10 shots a game and only like, scores one of all these. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have that responsibility before. But listen, I think he's a good player. Yeah. I don't mind him. He's someone that you've got the option to have. He's someone that you're away from saying, oh, I don't know if you realise today. When he come off today, he got booed by the Sheffield Wednesday fans. Every fan base was hating him. I hated him. I used to think he was a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, deal with it. You know what I mean?
He's scored against pretty much every single championship team. When you said that he was booed by the Sheffield Wednesday fans then. I was trying to think, did he play for United? But he didn't play for Sheffield United. He's one of those bad bastards that everyone hates. And whilst we're recording, I've just seen a message flash up on our in our DMs from the Wednesday Till I Die podcast of James, who we spoke to during the week. He just messaged us now going, the championship is cruel. So I think he's feeling it today.
I think that's very... They weren't great today, Ben. Yeah. Like, listen, don't get me wrong.
Maybe they're feeling hard done by the whole penalty being overturned.
What, the penalty that wasn't a penalty? Listen, James, I don't know if you watch this, James, or anything, but I'm not just saying this to be a twat. But I genuinely don't think that Sheffield Wednesday offered anything going forward. They didn't really test back then. Look, we didn't test Cameron Dawson in the Sheffield Wednesday goal.
Yeah.
All I have to say, I'm only in the goal, actually. Sheffield Wednesday didn't do anything going forward. they maybe perhaps thought maybe a point would have been acceptable. But at the end of the day, a sprint of Loxley's defence, brilliant bit of magic, and he scored.
That's it. To sum up the game, really, it was two poor teams that needed to find a bit of magic to win the game. We brought Yasser Espria on and we found that bit of magic. And it wasn't just the magic from Yasser Espria, it was the magic from Kone in the middle of the field. That ball he played down the right hand side for Yasser Espria was absolutely fantastic. And we've seen this before by Kone. He's got it in his locker. He is up there with Yasser Espria where he can see something that other players can't find in the team, and he can find that smallest gap and he can fizz a ball through for the player to run on into. And it was a fantastic ball by Kone, and he set Yasser Espria away, and he chipped in and out of a couple of Wednesday players. And in my eyes, I thought he did too much for the ball, and I thought he should have hit this earlier. And then he got it onto his left foot, and it was a fantastic strike. It just beat Dawson at his near post. But that's what we need, is a bit of quality to just separate us from Sheffield Wednesday and get our noses in
the head. Look, I was speaking to a Sheffield Wednesday fan in the toilet. I know that sounds a bit dodgy.
we keep going back to the toilet.
Yeah, I know. I was speaking to a Sheffield Wednesday fan in Walkabout, right? And I said to him, I says, you ready for your first 3 points at the moment? And he goes, look, mate, he says, how the fuck are Watford down there? They've got quality side. And to be fair, look at fucking... Espria, that's him. Espria, and his quality, that's what he can produce. Yeah. And it's frustrating that he has to come off the bench to do this. Why can't he start and last the whole game and produce these moments of quality? Espria's quality, we know that.
Yeah.
And look, it wasn't long ago that he was linked with that move away to Brighton.
He was scouted for Real Madrid in the under-19s World Cup or whatever.
So many people, when we put a tweet out to say Brighton, or I think there was a false news rumour to say Espria doesn't want to play for Watford, he wants to move. And so many people are like, well, he's not Premier League quality anyway, so he can fucking kick off all he wants and he's not good enough. But if he keeps putting performances like this, he'll be in Premier League next season, 100%.
100%, yeah. No, he's got the quality, I think we can all see it. And we've seen it in the spells that you want to get an hour
of fight,
don't you?
No, I thought it was a business channel.
If you want, you can go get another drink and try and do a monologue as well.
No, we'll carry on, mate.
Keep it going.
We'll carry on.
I'm worried that you've only got a tiny bit left, though.
This will be all right. We're not talking for much longer.
So, yeah, Yasser Espria, we all know the boy's really gifted. He's so talented, and we've seen it before. We've seen these little clips when he's played for Colombia or the under-21s for Colombia. He's definitely got it in his locker, but the consistency needs to be there for Yasser Espria, and I don't think we've seen it lately, but for me, his performance when he came on today, obviously he unlocked the defence for Sheffield Wednesday and got that close to that goal, but for me, he needs to carry this on now. He needs to carry this on into further games. Like if he starts Tuesday away at Swansea City, he needs to hit the floor running from the moment. Not be that impact player.
100% he does not. We've talked so much on this podcast, not just about Espria, just players in general. They set the landmark, then they go the next game, and they do for ball.
Yeah.
Look at Kone, he started one game, it was fantastic. Leeds, you know, it might as well have been stuck with me watching it on my bed in a fucking Airbnb in Bristol. You know what I mean?
I'm sure he would have loved
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. It was a comfort bed to me. But look, Espria's young, he's still learning the game, he's still getting used to English football. But for me, he has to start on Tuesday against Swansea.
Yeah, so it finished off Watford 1, Sheffield Wednesday 0. Watford picked up the third victory of the season after 12 championship games. It's lifting us 19th in the table. We're 5 points clear of the relegation zone. So we've got that little bit of gap now. So hopefully that'll help on. But what I'm looking for now, Mike, is not what I'm looking for. I'll ask you for a sum up of the performance, really, and what that victory actually means now for Watford.
The performance wasn't great, but listen, at the end of the day, the Championship, we know Ben.
Yeah.
It's a matter of how you play sometimes, it's a result.
And this is what you said Tuesday in the review.
100%. Sometimes you'll play shit and you'll get a win.
Yeah.
We weren't great today, but we got a win. And that is, at the the end of the day, there's 3 points on the board. Watford have got 3 extra points. 3 points, fucking hell. Yeah. They've got 3 points extra to their name than we did before the fucking first week to win.
Yeah.
That is all that matters. Yeah, we want Watford to play well and everything else. But in the Championship, sometimes, look at Leicester. I'll kid you not, no Leicester fan will watch this, so it'll be for all. But if you were to ask a Leicester fan, right, you've not lost this season, can you honestly say you've played class every single day? If they fuck, they haven't played class every single day. Sometimes you need to fucking grind it out, pull yourself to play dirty, whatever. It's about the fucking end result.
I think sometimes you have to win ugly.
100%.
And Watford did that today. And I think to win ugly, you've got to show a bit of character. And I think that second half, I was impressed with the second half. It was play up the ante, there was a bit more urgency, we moved the ball quicker.
We could have easily lost tonight.
100%, yeah. But then again, it was the quarter for Wednesday side. They didn't offer anything. They didn't get behind our central defenders, had an opportunity at goal with Daniel Batman. It was really comfortable today. He did nothing apart from come through, come and gather a cross late on. And I said to James next to me, and I was like, God, yeah, a couple of seasons ago, Daniel Batman wouldn't have came for those and been so comfortable in doing it. But the character is there in this Watford squad, and we've seen it, and we've seen the personalities that Valerie Ismail has brought into the side in the likes of Jake Livermore. I don't know about you, there was one bit for Jake Livermore today that I really liked about him. It was like a long ball thrown up to the opposition end, and Rajovic, we'll talk about Rajovic in a minute, he wasn't really interested, he didn't really want to go for it. But then Jake Livermore, he sprinted from his own half all the way through to the second and a half towards where we were shooting. And he just showed a bit of passion, a bit of like, I'm going to get there. If I get there, I'm going to go through the fucking player. And I really liked that from Jake Livermore. I just really liked that. But yeah, as I say, when we show a bit of character, we can grind out results. And we did it today, and that's a much needed 3 points for Watford Football Club. But I want to get your thoughts quickly on Rajovic. And we were talking about it coming here today. I know we've just won. I know we should be talking about 3 points now. But I think there's a little bit of an elephant in the room with Mileta Rajovic. And I think we need to address it a little bit. Do you think he really offers anything really to this team?
It was probably 4 or 5 games ago, I was saying, let's not write him off. He might come in and score 3, he might come in and do really well. I am not writing him off. I'm not being funny. He comes in and he's 6'1". 3, 6'4". He's a big fucker. Blanket. You would expect the ball goes up, he's winning it in the air. I've not seen him win a header. So far. He scored 2 goals against Cardiff. That was fucking brilliant. And brilliant the way they played. Loved it. Scored the first goal against Birmingham City. Criminal defending, by the way. Deion Sanderson. Hand your head in shame, son.
He's watching.
Yeah, if you're watching on the way back from Middlesbrough after your loss. Ha ha!
Get in the comments.
Yeah, get in the comments. He doesn't offer anything for me, though. I thought he was one of these Ben Manga finds. Yeah. That's another kind of fucking worms to open. It's not, it was Jurettas, man.
Or
Byatt,
man. Maybe he's Byatt, man, after all, yeah.
For me, Ben, I'm sorry to say, he doesn't offer anything for me. He doesn't win area of rules, he's 6'3", 6'4", whatever the fuck he is. He doesn't offer anything.
I want to like him.
So do I.
I don't want to write him off, but at the moment he looks like he's won a competition. Because I think you or me could maybe do a better job and maybe show him for a ball. Like, he runs away from it half the time. And I think he only held the ball up maybe once or twice in that second half, and I wanted more from him. But we're not writing him off just yet, but I just want to see more from I want to see more from him. And I'm just slightly disappointed, but if that's... Sorry. I must say, if you're listening now and you can hear the music in the background,
if these mics aren't working, you can hear a fucking karaoke.
The background music has been top quality, but now it's turned into karaoke. So you've got a live podcast, we're sinking some drinks, and you've got karaoke as well. We do treat you. And we had the dog in the corner earlier as well.
He's gone, he's fucked up.
He heard we started recording and he was like, I ain't fucking saying it. So yeah, 3 points for Watford. We head to Swansea on Tuesday. We're both going Tuesday.
Why?
My first question to you would be why? Why are we going to Swansea Tuesday, Mike? You've done the ground before, I haven't. That's why I'm going.
Ben's doing it because you've been. No, you've not been.
Do you know what? I'm going because we're down the bottom of the table and I'm trying to tick off grounds that I haven't done yet. I'm getting squeaky bum time and I thought, fuck, we might not be in the championship much longer. I need
might
to be Swansea.
Well, I've been promoted back to the Prem, that's what I'm about.
So that's why I've done it. Why have you done it?
I've done Swansea, 2010, Danny Graham scored 1-1, midweek game, me and my old man went. But I thought, when Ben said, oh, I'm going to do Swansea, I thought, you know what, I fucking fancy that. I drive now, I only passed my session in January, at the start of the year. And I thought, you know what, fuck it, I'll go. And I thought about driving back. Obviously, I only keep living in Lincoln now, so it's about 4.5 hours, maybe 4 hours, I don't know. But the travel lodge is 40 quid, so I thought, fuck me, I'll stay there.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all. But I'm just a fucking madman. That's what I'm doing.
I'm really looking forward to it as well. I know we're mental for doing it. Tuesday night at Swansea, like, it's going to take us hours to get there. I'm actually driving back after the game. I've not got a hotel, but who knows, I might end up getting in with Mike on the night or something if the traffic's bad. And so we won't tell you, missus, don't worry. Mike will end up Mike will end up calling me the babe instead of but yeah, it's going to be an interesting game anyway. But before we start recording, tweet out on our podcast socials to say that we're recording tonight. If anyone's got any questions,
let
us know. So we've actually got a few questions.
I've seen a couple
tonight.
Of notifications pop up. You got the answers?
Yeah, I've not got the answers. I'm hoping you've got the answers. And I've got the questions. Matcha Jules dropped in 2 questions tonight. So cheers, Matt, for dropping in the questions. Hope you well, mate. He says, if you're Valerie Ishmael, why is Astria not the first name on a team sheet?
I think it's down to the inexperience of the league. Look, he didn't start week in, week out last season, did he?
No.
So he's getting used to the league at the end of the day. And hopefully, if he scored today, he scored the winner.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he gets that start and he can build and he can build and he can build. Look, he started against Leeds and we fucking lost 3-0. So,
difficult game to go into for Leeds, isn't it, really? Same with Kone as well. Kone impressed against Birmingham. Him and the Spree have both started afterwards. Big game in Ellen Road. Like, maybe that wasn't the right time to throw them into, but Swansea away Tuesday, I'll throw Kone and the Spree have both into the starting line.
I'm starting the Spree on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And Kone.
Yeah.
100%.
I wasn't massively impressed with Tom Deli today, so I thought Kone offered more. But it's Spree, like we talked about earlier, he's got that bit of magic.
Espria is going to be some player.
Yeah.
It's just whether he fancies him. If he's on it, he can be some player. Yeah. He'll play in Premier League and go for it.
Yeah. And we've got a second question from Matt Churchill. So thank you again, Matt. Follow-up question. Your Gino, you've just witnessed that. Do you go big in January to secure safety or hang tight and hope?
Well, there's rumours that we've got 30 million to spend once we get through. For me,
you spend a lot.
Yeah. How many points do you get for 30 million, mate?
You know what? It's quite expensive here, isn't it?
Because I bought 2 points, 10 times 30.
It was cheap in Walkabout.
Yeah. We're going to Walkabout straight after this.
But then again, Walkabout didn't allow us to record here, so that's why we're here in the Horns Pub. So thank you very much for the Horns. Carry on.
Yeah.
See, everyone loves the Horns.
Exactly. Everyone loves your own sport. What's the question? That's funny. Oh, I'm Gino.
You're Gino. Would you go big this January transfer window, secure safety, or do you hope?
Listen, this is probably a bit naive of it. I don't think for 1 minute we'll go down.
Yeah.
I think there are 3 worse teams than us. Easily. I think there's more than three fucking worst teams in the
world. But QPR's obviously one of them, isn't it?
Today, not today again. Rotherham. Sorry, Rotherham fans. I love Rotherham more.
Sheffield Wednesday, QPR, Rotherham.
There you go, that's true. We're not going to sit here and name one of them because fucking hell. I want to get to talk about and get a reasonably close final. But look, at the end of the day, Ben, I think let's not spend too much in January because, like, if we go shit on us, if we spend all 30 million and keep cancelling the fuck all, we are head on our face, big time. Let's get the reinforcements in January, try and have a bit of a solid one, see where we end up. Next season is the one. Next season, if we've got money to spend, next season we go at it and we fucking run at the league.
The thing is that we've got the parachute payments, which is helping out this summer. Next season we don't have a parachute payment, but we should be debt free, so that should help out.
That'd be massive.
So we've actually got a third question as well. Absolutely loving these questions tonight, guys. So thank you very much, Matthew Evans. I know Mike's like fucking another question. He wants another drink. I'm asking him up, sir. We'll try and get through this as quick as possible. Matthew Evans says, surely after today, Kone needs to be given the keys. However, it's clear he needs to play with someone who gives him that freedom to do so. Liverpool can't do that week in, week out. So what do you think the options are?
Listen, first things first, I think Liverpool's come in and...
He's shored up the midfield.
100%, yeah. That is his experience.
There was a gaping gap before when Liverpool wasn't there with Sirielta, was it? And that's probably down to the position of Sirielta. He's not a defensive midfielder. He doesn't know the role. Livermore clearly does, and maybe that's why Sheffield Wednesday didn't get in behind the defence today, because of the positioning of Livermore, maybe?
I thought Livermore used his experience really well today. Yeah. And I thought he'd come in against Cardiff, we stopped the rock, we didn't lose, and first half was shit, second half was better, and I thought Livermore was good. And Livermore showed his experience today. So, look, obviously Livermore can't do it week in, week out. We need to get reinforcements in January. I'm pissed off when you get reinforcements in at the start of the season. 100% I am. Francisco Sierra, fuck me. Scary, put him in with DM. Because he just can't. Like, he's not a game for me.
Well, seeing in the pre-season games that Sierra has been lined up in those games.
They put Shaq forward in there. Fucking yeah, man.
And it's watching it, and it's like, are you holding out for FDM in the transfer window? Well, we didn't see it, we just saw Jake Livermore, and that probably leaked. That we found someone took a picture of it in the club shop, and we tweeted it and got it out.
We got the fucking exclusive.
I think that area does need to be addressed in the January transfer window, but you've got to find something to, like Matthew said, you need something to unlock the potential of Kone and his rigor to go on and attack the death beds, and that's what you've seen today. You've seen Kone come on and impress. Esprit's found a magic key, and he found a bottom corner past Thornton as well, which is absolutely fantastic. So I don't think we're going to go big. What I'm hoping for is we tap into the loan market for Premier League clubs. There's loads of talented players in the Premier League market that we can tap into, and we've not done it for absolutely years. Cast you back to the early 2010s or something. Henry Lansbury, Tom Cleverley. We've not had players like that from Premier League clubs for so long. We need to bring those kind of players back into the building. And that's what's happened with the likes of Sheffield United. They did it last season with Tommy Doyle from Manchester City. Like, why can't we approach Premier League sides and try and tap in for those top quality youngsters? And we've not had that since Tom Cleverley and Lansbury, so that's what I'm hoping for. I'm not expecting Gino to go into his back pocket and like get 5 million out and dish it here and there. That's not going to happen with Gino Pozzo, not when he wants to be debt free, but try and exploit that loan market and especially get into those Premier League sides as well. I think we'll probably wrap it up there, Mike. So we're obviously going to Swansea Tuesday night with the mentor, yes I know. But we're really looking forward to it. And because we're going to Swansea Tuesday night, we're actually going to do a live podcast straight after the game. So Mike will head off to his hotel room. I'll get him in the car. and Mike's going to set up a meeting and we'll start recording a Swansea review game. Win, lose, or draw, the boys will be here to give you a podcast of performance. And then I'll tune in and I'll be in the car driving back to Hemel Hempstead where I live, and we'll do a podcast for you. So that's going to be coming this week. We probably haven't got time for a preview show on Tuesday because of the quick turnaround, but we're definitely going to do a review show. So make sure you head over to our YouTube channel, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and hit that notification as well, so you'll be notified every time we go live, because this will be on YouTube on Tuesday night.
We'll be on YouTube on Tuesday night 100%. I'm taking my laptop down with me. It's not Ben said, as soon as I'm back from the game, I'm going to jump on YouTube Live. I know Do Not Scratch Live do their own Twitter space phoning, whatever. And that's brilliant. And I fucking love the boys over at DNSA.
Yeah.
DNSYA, sorry. but yeah, we'll be live on Facebook and YouTube. Like Ben said, he'll be joining, and that'll be out on YouTube and Facebook on Tuesday, and there's a podcast on Wednesday. Just want to apologise as well, if you guys were expecting us to the Sheffield Wednesday preview as a podcast, I have my hands up. I fucked up, so we weren't able to put it out as a podcast. This will be going out as a podcast, though. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it, man. Ben, I fucking love you, man.
I've really enjoyed it. If anything, I want to do it more. I want to do it more regularly, and I know it's going to be tough because obviously you're so far away, but whenever you're down next, we need to organise this. And if anything, I've underestimated how many drinks we need. I think 3 points would have been enough. We've gone for two, and we've got 2 points would be enough, but I finished my second pint probably about 5 minutes ago. You finished yours about 10 minutes ago. So we'll probably wrap it up there so we can head to a bar and get more drinks. We're going to go into the walkabout now to get some more. Mike's actually off now, so he's actually left me behind. But thank you very much for everyone joining in tonight. If you like the video, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and make sure you get into the comments as well. We really want people to get involved in this podcast and let us know your thoughts in the comments. Let us know about the performance that you thought of, the players that stood out maybe, and what you're looking forward to in the Swansea game. But me and Mike, we will be back Tuesday evening when we are in South Wales recording a live review of the Swansea City game. So yeah, we'll see you Tuesday. Come on, you Wolves.
Sports Social Podcast Network.